Support for LAist comes from Visual Communications, presenting VC Film Fest, celebrating 40 years of Asian and Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander filmmaking, with over 200 films May 1st through 10th. Info at festival.vcmedia.org.
I'm Tracy Thomas, host of One for the Books, a live literary event series from LAist. We are back with guests, author Amanda Montell and actor Bella Lavelle. You can find us on May 15th at the Crawford Family Forum. Tickets at laist.com/events.
First, the cost of encampments like the one in Echo Park. A recent report commissioned by the federal government found that cities across the country are paying millions of dollars responding to homeless encampments, be it cleaning them up, shutting them down, or providing some support. The study comes after 2020 marked the first year on record that the number of homeless individuals living outside surpassed the number of those living under some sort of shelter. Nicole Fiore is senior associate for Apt Associates, the consultancy that conducted the study on behalf of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and HUD. We spoke and she explained the biggest challenges to studying this issue is that there is not a shared universal definition for what encampments are.
To really understand encampments and to move forward with the strategy, it's really important to understand the unique needs and characteristics of people living in encampments. And currently, there isn't a systematic way of collecting that data. Every 2 years, each community across the country that receives HUD funding for homeless service systems conducts an annual or biannual point in time count. And that looks at generally people who are staying in shelter locations and people who are unsheltered, but it doesn't actually get at the number of people who are living in encampments. So I think we're moving in that direction, but right now there's a gap in that data.
When it comes to studying encampments, there's been pushes in different neighborhoods across the U.S. to have local elected officials clean out the encampments. Does that make it tough sometimes to study them when, you know, you try to put some kind of effort into understanding an encampment and all of a sudden gets cleaned out?
In our research, the way we structured it is we selected 9 cities across the country. We did telephone interviews with stakeholders and city representatives in those 9 communities. Then from there, we selected 4 communities and did site visits where we talked to city representatives, we talked to implementation partners, we interviewed people with lived experience, and we observed. I don't think in terms of research, there was really any obstacles. I will say, though, when we talk to homeless service providers and people who are doing outreach, there's a huge barrier for them when there is cleanups and closures of encampments. A lot of times, those types of cleanups and closures really disrupt the relationships they're building with encampment residents to try to get them into supportive services or address their health conditions, get them into some sort of permanent housing. We also know from years of research that one of the biggest barriers of getting people into permanent housing is getting them document ready and getting them their eligibility status determined. So what does that mean? That means having their Social Security cards in hand, having their birth certificates, having some sort of income verification or homelessness verification, as well as having their critical personal possessions like medications in hand. And sometimes when cities clear encampments, some of these critical items are getting swept away and disposed of, leaving the person experiencing homelessness starting at square one and getting these documents all over again.
Did you at all research the growth of encampments across the United States and what might be contributing to that? And actually, who might be living in these encampments, why they're there and who they are?
Most encampment residents are adults. Some cities reported different types of subpopulations depending on the areas of the city. So for example, San Jose reported that transition-age youth established their own encampments separate from adults. In Minneapolis, we heard that residents of one of their largest encampments were primarily Native American. In some cities, people living in encampments have higher rates of disability conditions. So it really depends on the city and then the type of setting in that city. One important consideration that we found through our research is that people living in encampments often are longtime residents and often have ties to the community where the encampment is located. For example, I interviewed a woman in San Jose who grew up in the neighborhood where her encampment was set up. And she actually went to school down the street, but because of high rental rates in that area of San Jose, she wasn't able to afford housing in that area anymore.
We're talking to Nicole Fiore, Senior Associate for the consultancy Apt Associates and co-author of a recent report on homeless encampments. All right, now to the findings, Nicole. How are cities responding to encampments and how much is it costing?
Really, in the cities we studied, there was a shortage of affordable housing in these metro areas, combined with a lack of sufficient resources to end homelessness, prevent homelessness, and a shortage of shelter beds, interim housing beds. In the places where there were open or accessible shelter beds, people are actually choosing to stay in encampments rather than stay in these beds. You know, we ask the question, well, why is that? So one is restrictions and requirements of the shelters. So for example, no pets, no partners. They may be single gender. There may be sobriety requirements. Another thing were the conditions at the shelter. Many people had accessed shelters in the past, but something happened. They didn't feel safe. They didn't have any autonomy. One of the key findings of the study is that in most encampments, there is a real sense of community where residents of the encampments are coming together. They're taking care of each other. I would say that the one other additional finding we found is there was a convergence around a common strategy, which was clearance, closure, with support. So what we mean by that is clearance, so removing the belongings, and with closure, fencing it off so people don't return, and providing support throughout the process. One thing to think about is that cities are often using different approaches to encampments. So for example, even if a city says that their approach is cleaning and clearing with support, they may not always use that for every encampment that you see.
And when it comes to money, you mentioned budget. Generally, what's the range we're talking about in terms of what different cities are spending and their response to encampments?
So we collected cost information at four cities: Chicago, Illinois, Houston, Texas, San Jose, California, and Tacoma, Washington. The highest total that we saw was in San Jose, California, which was about $8.5 million in fiscal year 2019. The lowest we saw was in Houston, Texas, for about $3.4 million over fiscal year 19. But then if you look at cost per unsheltered person homeless, there was a range. Tacoma, Washington was actually spending the most per person at around $6,000 per person. And San Jose, because they have a larger unsheltered population, was spending close to $1,000 per person. I would say that each city was spending the majority of their funding on different things. So for example, in Tacoma, Washington, they were spending around 60% of their funding for a navigation center or a stability site. In Chicago, they were spending close to 85% of their funding on outreach efforts. And in San Jose, around 60% of their funding was going into the cleaning of encampments and the closures of encampments. In the four cities that we visited, the largest funder of encampment responses were the city governments.
Now, here in Los Angeles, the city's response to homeless encampments became front and center. That was back in March when the city set out to remove an encampment of unhoused people in Echo Park Lake. Nicole, I know LA was not part of this study, but from your broader research, what's been LA's approach to responding to homeless encampments?
Echo Park kind of followed what we were seeing in the convergence of the other four cities, which was clearing, closure with support. We've seen documentation in different media outlets of the city and the counties and LASA's approach to closing Echo Park and trying to really link the people in Echo Park with some sort of interim housing situation, getting them connected to support services. So I think, you know, it follows various methods. Like you had said, LA is not one of the study sites. So I don't know specifically if that is the city's approach to all encampments or if they had various approaches. I will also say that Echo Park is the perfect example of what decades of disinvestment in affordable housing, supportive services, and extreme poverty in Los Angeles has done to the city and the people who call it home. At this point, decades later, homelessness impacts everyone. The focus needs to be on the people who are experiencing unsheltered homelessness and who are rapidly deteriorating on the streets, and how to develop affordable and deeply affordable housing across the community to get people into permanent housing. I've done a lot of research on Los Angeles's response to homelessness over the past several years, and I would say for the past 5 years or so, the city of Los Angeles, the county of Los Angeles, and now more recently, the state of California has significantly invested in responses to end and prevent homelessness. There is more funding, more services, and more programs than ever before. However, after decades of insufficient investments in this area, coupled with the increasing housing costs in LA County, it's going to take a while to play catch up in this game.
That's Nicole Fiore, Senior Associate for the consultancy Apt Associates and co-author of a recent report titled Exploring Homelessness Among People Living in Encampments and Associated Cost. Nicole, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.